What is up? My name is Daniel Safer, and you're listening to another episode of Fitness Frameworks.
These last couple of years, my health and fitness have been a big part of my life. I've spent tons of time testing, failing, learning, and iterating on my nutrition and exercise plan with the help of mentors. The real question has been, as a busy professional, how can I develop a sustainable fitness lifestyle where I prioritize my health, but I do not let it consume my life? This podcast is here to give you the answer. Join me and follow along as I keep learning to apply and share fitness frameworks that help me achieve my health goals. My name is Daniel Safer, and welcome to Fitness Frameworks.
And we have fitness expert number two for you in this episode. I absolutely loved it because I was able to relate so much to the things that he talked about. He mentioned a lot about, all right, well, how did he have to maneuver situations when he was in a family situation, because he came from the Filipino culture where food is a big part of that culture. I related to that because same thing with the Mexican culture. Food is, that's what you talk about when you're eating at the table. It's just more food and different types of food. And I struggled with that a lot. I was able to relate to that. But in this wide range of interesting topics in this interview, we went from that to the relationship with food, to being able to gamify tracking macronutrients, to being honest with yourself, to building the right habits. There is such a huge wide range of topics in this podcast interview, and I hope you could get some value out of it. So let's jump into it. Yo, what is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Fitness Frameworks. We are here with someone who I started to follow because of his unique perspectives and ideas when it comes to fitness and life, and in general, just being able to build a lifestyle with your fitness. It's these perspectives that have allowed his clients to get the results they want, and because of that, they definitely have changed their approach when it comes to building that sustainable fitness lifestyle. I'm excited to have Michael Soriano, aka Wolf. Thanks for being here, man. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
That's good, man. That's good to hear. And I'm excited that you're here, man. Like I said, I started following you on Instagram. I started to learn a little bit more about these ideas that you put out there. And some of them really resonated with me. But before we get into all of that, okay, Tell the audience, where did the nickname Wolf come from?
You know, I've been answering that question actually for the past few days. It's still to this day. I've had that nickname for like over a couple years now. Where it came from was actually, I was in the ring, just practicing some Muay Thai, and the coach could not remember my first name. You know, and my first name is a very common name. You just said it's Michael. But he recognized my business, my personal training business, which is Wolf Thai Athletics. And instead of saying, hey, you over there, he was just like, Wolf. And I was like, you know what? Let me just correct him once. And then I corrected him. And then the entire class actually started calling me Wolf. And instead of, you know, correcting everyone else, I was in like my head, I was like, you know what? This name, it's kind of cool. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to let everyone know to call me Wolf from now on. And it kind of fits too, you know? So, and yeah, that's how I got the nickname, was doing a little Muay Thai, a little broken nose. I'm just kidding, not broken nose, but a little bloody nose here and there. And then, yeah.
That's awesome, dude. And do you personally feel like a different identity between Michael and Wolf, or is it the same person?
I feel like it's the same person. You know, when I look at the nickname Wolf, you know, I see leadership. I see somebody that likes to teach and you know, listen as well, you know, for those people who want to follow him. And I like to be that same person, you know, when it's Michael, you know, I don't like to separate them too.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So take us a little further back. How did you get started into fitness? Where does your journey start?
Okay. So I don't really put this much on my social media, but, so my fitness journey actually started back in a small town in North Carolina. So I'm originally not from San Diego, California, which is where I'm at right now. I started my fitness journey in North Carolina, and, you know, growing up, food was a big thing. You know, food was a big thing, being that both my parents were Filipino, and in Filipino culture, food, you know, it's celebration. And when it comes to those things, we do it big, you know? You know, it wasn't until I moved into that small town that I wanted to join the wrestling team. And you know what? And it was my first time doing a sport. It was like, I think I was like in seventh grade, and that's when it all started. you know, having to look at my weight, having to gain that stamina, and strength training, stuff like that. I was introduced right then and there. I signed up for a weight training class and, you know, fell in love with it and pretty much just stuck with it throughout to high school until now, basically. Yeah.
And at some point, did you see the progress right away ever since you were in wrestling, or were there some setbacks there and you're like, you know what, these are some of the things that I have to start changing to actually get to where I want to go?
Well, yeah. So when you first started, the initial change is almost immediate, right? Because you want it really bad, right? Especially when it comes to wrestling, where you have to constantly fluctuate your weight to move up and down weight classes. But yeah, there was a turning point. I think it was around like right before I started high school, where I started realizing, hey, this is what I need to eat to feel this certain way. So it went from more of like what I need to, what I was looking at on the scale to what I needed to feel so I can, you know, feel the same way during a match or during a competition. So that was really the turning point, was switching from middle school to high school wrestling.
Was there anything specifically hard that you came from that background of, now your weight's fluctuating a lot because you have to hit the weight class, to transitioning more to that, okay, now it's more about how I feel as opposed to just specifically for wrestling?
Yeah. So the hardest part there was actually having an agreement with my parents. You know, like I said before, my parents were both Filipino, but they're first gen. So they're very old school. You know, when it comes to, and I'm not saying that's bad, you know, I'm just saying it was very difficult to get on the same mindset as them, like, hey, mom, dad, I'd rather eat chicken and rice rather than all this other goodness, lumpia, fatty foods over here. But no, yeah, that was the hardest part right there, was sort of agreeing. And, you know, over time, I was just like, you know what, I'm going to be an adult one day. Let this be the start of me making my own decisions and saying yes to myself. And doing what I need to do for myself for the long run, you know.
That's awesome. You're starting to establish your independence. And something you keep touching on is basically your family background. So I come from a Hispanic family. So same exact situation, right? Like, food is a cornerstone there. Like, that's how you build the relationships, right? Like, you have the fun conversations in the table, joking around, or, you know, teasing your relatives. What other challenges have you had? Was it just with your parents, or did you also start to develop some different relationships with food as well that you had to detach yourself from?
Yeah. So, you know, it was very difficult, you know, having to say no to certain foods. However, I quickly found out some quick alternatives, right? So that's the hardest part, is finding alternatives, because you technically don't have to say no to everything, because there's always an alternative, especially with like technology nowadays and the way food is developing. There, sometimes the alternative is healthier and it tastes better too, which is funny. So yeah, that was like one of the hardest parts, was saying no to certain foods, and building that relationship with food was difficult, because then you're eating, when you first start out, you read as many articles as you can, right? And then most of the articles were like coming from bodybuilding.com, and that, at least for me, it was, you know, saying like, you need 6 meals a day, you need chicken, rice, and broccoli, salmon, sweet potatoes, and you know, being a young mind, you don't really go further into that next step of doing that research. You only read what's in front of you and do it, because this person looks like this because they did this, right? And so in my head, I was like, okay, maybe I need to do that to look like that and feel like that, right? And the hardest part was, you know, having to constantly eat the same thing every single day when I didn't have to. I was like, blew my mind when I found that out.
Take me back to that moment. What was it like, what happened that blew your mind and you're like, wow, I've been living my life wrong?
Dude, I got goosebumps right now. So it's basically when I found out about if it fits your macros. Mm-hmm. So once I started counting my macros, you know, before I was all about calories, right? Before it was all about calories, when in reality, it's not really calories, it's what makes up those calories. And it's our fats, carbs, and proteins, right? And once I started counting my macros, it was almost like a little game for me. You know, it was like a little game. Oh, I'll scan this barcode right here. I'll weigh this out right here. And then it was like almost a little game for me every single day to hit that number, as close to that number, and like trying to drop that calorie count to zero. That's when it started being fun, because I turned it into a game of, okay, I got to try to beat this number.
I love how you gamify it, though, because a lot of people tend to, especially me in my past, I tend to put stress in it, like, oh, man, I was off by 10 calories, you know? I was like, oh, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to figure it out? But instead, I really like the different perspective of, hey, it's a game. Let's have fun with it, right? Let's make it this light, enjoyable thing.
Because think about it. Like, if you take it and you make it into a game, what are you most likely to do more of? It's be more consistent. Because now that you're having fun with it, you know, you're more likely to do it more and more and more. And all you're doing on the side, really, is just building consistency. And that right there is, like, literally the giving factor of, like, what you need to change your body.
And I love that you also talked on that consistency, because that's something that I also went back through, like, reflecting on my life. I constantly fell back into the perfectionist mentality, where it was like, I have to do everything just right. If I don't, I'm not even going to bother. And because of that, it was like a bunch of yo-yoing. And it wasn't till I started to develop that consistency of, like, all right, just even if today wasn't ideal, let's get better and better and better, that I started to make some actual progress towards my goal. So I like that you brought that into that as well. And you started to count your calories, if it fits your macros, you started to understand the macro portfolio of a certain food. Like, if you had a food, you're like, okay, that has X amount of fat, X amount of protein, X amount of carbs. Mm-hmm. How did that really start to change your perspective now to, you know, when you would eat your family, I'm assuming now you understand the macronutrients more. So you're like, oh, actually, maybe I can have a little bit of that.
Yeah. So, you know, after, like, I think it was like a year, I made it into a game, I did it into a 365-day game. Where I did it, I tracked my macros for a year, and because you know it tells you, MyFitnessPal tells you, like, hey, congratulations, you logged your food in for 365 or so days, right? And once I got to that year, you know, and I'll be straight up, I was kind of over it, because, like, whatever I was logging in, I knew it before I had to log it in. I was just doing it just to track it so I can keep track of my total. So one of the dishes that we have in Filipino culture is called kare kare. It's very, I wouldn't say it's an odd dish, but it's I love it. It's a peanut butter based dish. And yeah, it's a peanut butter based dish. It's almost like curry. So hence the name kare kare or kare kare. It's a curry based dish or peanut butter based dish. And it's like curry, put over a bed of rice, stuff like that. And when I was eating, I was like, you know what? This is just peanut butter and oxtail, right? So, like, I thought in my mind, like, okay, Jif peanut butter, 2 tablespoons, 1 serving, 16 grams of fat. Blah, blah, blah. I know that. I know how much to have of it. I know. I even know how to measure it, right? When it comes to, like, measuring too, it's like, okay, it doesn't have to be the exact thing, but if you know the major component of that food, right, you can estimate. So when it came to like family gatherings and then actually getting back to, like, eating the same foods I was before, now it's not exactly measuring. It's estimating what I'm putting in my body. And which is still fine, because I'm still staying consistent to my goals. Because now, even though they aren't exact, they're, you know, close to it. And that's better than nothing, right? Better than going overboard and saying, oh, since I can't track it, I'll just eat all of it, right? No, now I'm getting to the mindset of, like, okay, now I can estimate it. Now I can feel, yeah, at least somewhat good and somewhat get a little bit closer to my goal.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to, like, you get to actually enjoy the meal, as opposed to being like, oh, my parents are going to have this amazing thing that they prepped, right? And I'm just going to have my broccoli and chicken and rice.
Exactly. Exactly, man.
And I love that, because, I mean, that's obviously, we're talking about the family setting, because we come from those backgrounds, but that literally applies to anything. Like, I realized with flexible dieting, it's like, if you're a huge, you know, like, if you love ice cream, or if you love your cookies, or if you love, you know, your chips, whatever that is, you could still strategically build something that's sustainable for you, something that you can adhere to, but still consistently work towards your goals.
Exactly.
What was that feeling for you, looking at the before and after, where it's like, now you're able to actually enjoy that meal with your parents, but now it's like you see the matrix, right? Like, you know exactly what's in what you're eating.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm seeing those zeros and ones now. it was such a great feeling, you know, like, knowing that, you know, I could have that, you know, I can have that. And that's the big thing, right? You know, when especially I'm like when I come into my clients, right? I ask them like, okay, what's your everyday? Yeah, and almost 90% of the time they try to lie, and I can tell they're lying. Oh, I had some chicken breast, some brown rice, some broccoli. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Just be honest, right? Being honest with yourself when it comes to like eating and that building that habitual pattern of eating is the number one thing that you, like you should do, because then you can find out where you can change and where you can come back to, where you can shoot for it again, right? Because it's culture, you know, that's part of our culture. You know, there's no sense of like eliminate because we can't have it. It's just, you know, just restrict it for now until you can have it again, you know? And that's the, and it kind of leads off to like, okay, having too much of a good thing, right? It just tastes so good, right? But then at the same time, like if you work to it and build this habit of like, okay, I can limit myself now, but I can still have the same foods I can before, then why not, right?
Yeah. And I think there's something powerful there, because I guess going back to that perfectionist mentality, when mm-hmm. I would label a food that maybe isn't as nutritious, or maybe it's highly calorically dense, or it just has a lot of calories, when I used to label that as bad, the times that I would consume it, I was like if I consumed a piece of pie, I was like, well, I'm gonna get another piece because tomorrow I'll start eating good foods again and I'll stop eating bad foods. And after two pieces, I was like, well, I already have two pieces. Might as well get
it. Let me just go on.
let me just finish the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think to your point, it's instead of labeling it as good and bad, it's when you see the food and you're like, okay, maybe this isn't the most nutritious for me. Maybe this isn't completely aligned with my goals, but I'm going to allow myself to have it. Then you kind of just, you're able to limit yourself because you're not like constricting yourself to this good or bad behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
And what is something that you think someone could do to start to adopt that? Is it just taking on, you know, just doing those decisions little over time? Or is there something that someone could do to just kind of switch over to that more, I guess, consistent mentality?
I mean, to each is their own, right? So we all build habits in our own way. You know, I read a really good book a couple years ago. It was called The Power of Habit. And what a habit is basically is three things. It's a cue, your routine, and then your reward. So your reward is basically the goal that you want to get to, right? It's the goal that you want to see, whether it be like looking good in front of the mirror, you know, looking good with no clothes off, being able to run a mile without having to pant for air, stuff like that. And then noticing the cue or the routine that you need to change because of the cue. So like, okay, you know, like I said, for me, it was very difficult to build a consistent pattern. Like, you know, having that, because it's hard, you know, it's hard having that disciplined mindset, right? It's hard having, building that, you know, because, you know, when you're young, at that age, I was constantly hanging out with friends, like, oh, let's go to Burger King, let's go to McDonald's, you know? And then when I get home, it's totally the opposite, right? It's just like, oh, eat this food. And it's very hard when you're the only person in your mind that you want to do this certain thing. But then, yeah, like, you know, I would say like, you know, slowly build into it, and it's going to take time. And that's the number one thing I can't stress enough is time, because, you know, with all the results now, like coming out nowadays, you know, especially on social media, it's always quick. You know, you think of this person did it quick. Nah, man, it takes time, because you know what? It's not the physical change that you're changing. It's the mindset, and it takes so much time to change your mindset. Because you're changing your own, right? You don't let anyone else change your mindset, but you change your own and take your time with it, because at the end of the day, you know, you're going to be living with that like every day and developing that into your daily lifestyle.
I love that. And in terms of time, I mean, like when you hit your goal of mm-hmm. building the lifestyle, when you hit your goal of losing the fat or whatever that is, my opinion is you're not going to care how long it took you to get there. Right?
Exactly.
Like if it took you 30 days, 60 days, 2 years, that's not really going to matter. Like it's the process of you developing yourself and building those consistent habits that's going to get you there. And then two, it's just the, like you're there already, right? Like if it took you mm-hmm. a little longer, that's all right. And that's the first thing I thought about when you just brought up the time aspect. So I think that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But I want to dive deeper into something that you said with developing that right mindset, because there's something interesting about developing the right mindset, right? When you're trying to, like in terms of habits, right? when you're trying to develop a habit that's physical, like let's say, you know, brush your teeth, make your bed, something that you can physically do, I have a tendency to have much more ease with that because I feel like it's just like, okay, like I did it or I didn't do it, right? And I could set a time for it and then it's like a yes or no. But when it comes to developing a right mindset habit, like for example, maybe I need to stop complaining, or I need to stop being, or I need to start being more grateful, or I need to, you know, stop quitting things halfway through, or whatever that is, I tend to struggle more. So I'm curious if you have any insight into what is the hardest part of being able to develop that right mindset and make that a habit.
Can you reiterate that question?
Yeah. So yeah, it was a very long-winded question. Basically, I feel physical habits are easier to implement than mindset habits, right?
Yeah.
The example is doing your bed versus stopping, versus being more grateful. So basically, what is the challenge that one must overcome to be able to develop the mindset habit with much more ease?
Okay. So the biggest challenge to overcome that is knowing that you can do it, right? Mm-hmm. Because the only limiting factor that's really stopping us is, saying, oh, if I try for this, I'm going to fail, right? You don't know that. You don't know that unless you actually try it, right? So then that's where that mindset comes into play, where if you switch it, and I like to do this a lot, and I like to go before my mind thinks, right? And that's basically just saying go all in and don't even think about it. Okay. Just, if you just try for it, you're one step closer to getting there. Right. And that's the number one key factor for me. And what I tell my clients, you know, when it comes to training and they're having this courage of like, oh, I can't do 10 pushups right now, Wolf. I don't feel comfortable like continuing on. I'd be like, no, you know, yeah, you can do 10 pushups right now, but that doesn't mean you can't do 10 down the road. Right. It's not going to take a year. If you stay consistent and you got to relate your physical goals with your mindset goals, okay? Because they play off one another, right? If you stay consistent with what you have in front of you as far as physically wise, your mindset will follow, or vice versa. You know, some people are different. Sometimes their mindset goes first and then their physical body comes second. You know, you just got to find that center niche for you, that center place, and just go from there. So that's like my number one advice when it comes to like changing your mindset. Just go. You know, whether it's your body first or your mindset first, pick one and just go. If you can't pick one, just let it flow. Just start getting into a habit that you can repeat. And then sooner or later, that mindset's going to change. And when it changes, it's going to click. You're going to wake up like, oh my gosh, it's 4 a.m. I feel energized and I'm ready to go, you know. And having that mindset, you know, it's trained. It's like training physically, but you're training your mind now. And I like that question a lot.
Awesome, dude. I really like that perspective because I think it leads into what I wanted to talk to next, which is, I mean, if you train your mindset to go, at some point you're going to feel motivated. You're going to be hot. You're going to feel hyped that you're going along with it. But then a couple weeks, months, whatever that is, that motivation is kind of just going to probably go away. So there needs to be something else there that's going to keep you going. Right? Like that's going to allow you to basically follow through with your goal.
Yeah.
What is it that's going to allow you to follow through with the goal?
Frequently giving yourself goals. I mean, you gotta constantly give yourself goals, whether it be daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly. I mean, not even yearly. So I would say have your 6 month to like 12 month goals, right? And then your 3 month to 6 month goals. So your 6 month to 12 months would be your long-term. Your 3 month to 6 month would be your short term. And then everything below 3 months would be more of your frequent goals. Like, okay, like tomorrow I want to wake up, make my bed, brush my teeth, be ready by 4:30 a.m. You know, having those small goals in front of you and constantly working for them keeps that mindset going of like, okay, you know, I know if I get through this, I know at the end of all this, I'm going to have something more to add to my repertoire or add something to my tools to help me get to that bigger goal. So having frequent goals and constantly challenging yourself is what I suggest having to get in there, you know.
God, I like how tactical you got about the goals and being able to set it. So I want to ask a couple more questions there. Mm-hmm. If someone sets a goal, and let's say it's the 6 month goal, Yeah. And somewhere along the line, they see that they might not be able to hit that goal, right? Like 3 months in, they're like, you know what? That's probably a little too ambitious.
Yeah.
In your opinion, how should someone readjust? Should they push the timeout? Should they bring the goal down? Or how should someone react in those situations?
I mean, realistically, yeah, if you did not, or if you weren't able to reach your goal within that given amount of time, you would need to readjust that goal to make it more realistic because, you know, back then, you probably weren't setting a realistic goals. And that's the key thing too, is like setting realistic goals for you and that you know you can hit, because, you know, we can have coaches online or trainers saying that you can lose X amount of pounds within 12 weeks. However, if you don't get there, like it is discouraging. So my best advice for that is to set realistic goals so that you can keep going and going. And that's where the small goals come from. Like those frequent changes in goals, like the short-term goals to get there, like help out, you know, because you're constantly winning, you know, you're going to get there and get that grand prize.
So what can you do to balance that out with the other side of the spectrum, right? So we talked about, you want to set goals that are realistic, mm-hmm. that you can accomplish, but you also don't want to set them so low that you don't even challenge yourself to get to that goal.
Basically, to find that balance, right? You still want to challenge yourself every day, right? And that's a big thing. And that comes from just mindset. So all of this that we're talking about, like all I'm saying, really plays off each other, and it all just adds up. And it's called building a foundation. So if you constantly challenge yourself, right, you're solidifying whatever is in front of you. You're solidifying, like, oh, being able to make your bed so early, and, you know, like getting an ebook in before you start of your day, and having all of this, and, you know, with your end goal, further solidifies your foundation, helps you go along with all your other goals.
That's awesome. That makes sense, Wolf. So now I'm curious, tell me more about your day-to-day lifestyle. How are you able to integrate fitness into what you do?
Yeah, so it's funny how I got to it, but I like doing videography and photography, right? And with that, it's kind of funny because I like lifting heavy cameras, and you got to be physically fit to hold a camera for an event, right? So like, let's say, oh, you got to hold it over your head for like an hour or two. And that's how I kind of translate like what I do on the everyday as far as training and how I let it play into my everyday. Because I also like traveling. Okay. So like, yeah, I also like traveling, doing like travel videography, travel photography, travel real estate, stuff like that. That's my everyday, right? And having a fitness background and being able to do like physically go to all these places and being able to like stand in line or stand at an event or at a listing for so long, being able to hold that camera. That's how my training actually plays into fitness. So if you want to say it, I train to hold a camera.
Yeah, he doesn't do the regular bench press. He does the camera press.
That's hilarious, dude.
That's awesome, man. And actually, I think there's something cool there. For professionals who travel a lot, what are some tips that you've been able to figure out that allow you to stay consistent while traveling?
Hydration. Hydration. Being able to regulate your water intake. And then also your energy expenditure. So I know that was a lot of terminology that I just threw out there, but knowing what you put in your body and how your body reacts to it can help you down the road. Because let's say you're in a foreign country and you're not familiar with the food, right? But you know you need a certain type of food to get you going for the shoot the next day. For like, you know, if I were to do like, you know, climb a mountain or then shoot the sunrise from there, you know, knowing your water intake and what you put in your body as far as energy goes helps out so much, especially when it comes to traveling, because I'll be straight up, man, food at the airport is really expensive. And I know nobody wants to pay for food at the airport.
And what about exercise? Because sometimes you don't have the access to the gyms that you would if you were back home, right?
You know what, man? I like taking my camera. I like doing sit-ups with my camera. I like doing push-ups. No, I mean, like your regular walk or your hike, you know, like if you're traveling all these places, and they're awesome gyms at a hotel too. you know, stuff like that. Like, there are little things that like you can do that'll be extremely beneficial for you in the long run when it comes to like traveling and like having like these fitness routines, being able to do while traveling. You know, it's like what we're doing right now, like in quarantine, like, you know, everyone's working out at home. Being able to take your workout outside of the house or outside of the gym is completely beneficial.
That's awesome, man. To close up, I have one final question.
Okay.
For the audience who tend to be high performers, busy professionals, busy entrepreneurs, people who are on the career path that they want, the business that they're building, right? Sometimes they feel like maybe they don't have time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, people who prioritize their family, moms and dads. For all these kinds of people, what is the last piece of advice you'd give to someone that would help them build a sustainable fitness lifestyle?
I would say just start. You know, like the one thing that comes to building a fitness lifestyle is saying yes from the start, you know, and you're always questioning, you're always saying like, oh, this isn't the right time to do it. The right time to do it is now, okay? The right time to do it is now, because later down the road, if you keep waiting, it's never gonna happen. So my biggest advice when it comes to building a fitness lifestyle is starting, you know? And then once you start, it's kind of hard to stop, right? You'll find a groove and yeah.
I like that. It reminds me of the quote that says, you know, the best time to plant the tree was 20 years ago, but the second best time is right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome, man. So it was great having you here. I know you're active on social media. So where can people go to find you and follow you and learn more about you through your content?
Yeah. So you guys can find me on Instagram at mike.wolf.fitness. You guys can also find me on YouTube. I do videography and photography as well. So that's where my lifestyle actually plays into my training. I like to fuse those two together, and you guys will see once you guys visit my YouTube channel. You guys can follow me at Mike Wolf Fitness also there. Thank you so much for having me, man. This was really fun.
Yeah, no, thank you, Wolf, for hopping on. I really appreciate you joining us. It's been fantastic talking with you, man.
Hey, thank you so much, man.
Oh, man, there is so much to unpack there. But I think some of the key takeaways that I had was just, one, gamifying your nutrition, gamifying your exercise, because when you start to gamify things, two things happen. One, you start to get more enjoyment out of it, because it's like you're playing a game. It's like your little kid again, where time just flies by because you didn't even pay attention to, because you were so focused in the game and you had so much fun. And the second thing is that exactly, the focus in the game. When you gamify things, you get to be more present. You get into this flow state of having fun with it, enjoying your time with it. And the second thing that I took away from this is probably just about loading your foundation, setting up those habits that is going to solidify the foundation for you, the base, so that you could step on to the next level. And when you get to that level, creating the next set of habits that will allow you to, again, solidify that foundation and keep on going up. Anyways, I'd be curious to find out what takeaways you had. But again, the reason I brought on Wolf is because I'm building out this free course for you, where I brought on 6 different fitness experts and I asked them questions that I wish I knew to when I first started to build a sustainable fitness lifestyle. And I'm compiling all this into a free course that you could go check out at fitnessframeworks.com/crashcourse. So I hope to see you there. Other than that, that's it for this episode. I'll see you on the next one. Peace. Yo, I created a free course for you. I sat down and interviewed 6 fitness professionals who have delivered countless results for all of their clients. I asked them questions that I wish I knew when I first started my fitness journey. Like, what are the hidden pitfalls of someone who's barely starting out? And let me tell you, you will not be disappointed with their insightful answers. In fact, I compiled all of their answers in the video format so you can consume this as a video course. So to get this free course, you can head over to fitnessframeworks.com/crashcourse. I'll see you inside.